Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're doing something a little different. We're transporting ourselves to a battlefield.
Oh, dramatic.
It is. The date is January 2026.
Yeah.
And the location, it's your server-side architecture. We are stepping right into the middle of what developers are calling the Battle of the Backends.
It sounds like a movie trailer, but honestly, for anyone building software right now, it really feels that way. We're looking at the definitive showdown between Supabase and Firebase.
All right.
And as we're looking at the landscape in 2026, this choice, it's really evolved. It is no longer just about, you know, which pricing tier is $5 cheaper. It's become a war of ideology.
That is exactly what we are here to unpack. The mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. We want to navigate this modern database showdown so that you can choose the right stack for your next big project.
And not wake up 3 months later with, like, massive technical regret.
Exactly. Technical regret is the key. We see it all the time, don't we?
All the time. Teams pick a technology because it's easy on day one, and then they just hit a brick wall on day 100.
So let's introduce the fighters. In the red corner, we have the veteran Firebase.
Backed by Google, the document store champion.
It's powered a whole generation of mobile apps.
Yeah.
And in the green corner, the challenger that's been gaining just massive ground, Supabase.
So self-proclaimed modern wrapper around PostgreSQL.
Right. So quick overview of where we're going today.
Sure. We are going to look at developer experience, especially this type safety battle that Next.js developers are obsessed with.
Can I avoid it?
No. Then we'll get into the AI war. Because, I mean, in 2026, if you aren't building with AI, what are you even doing? We'll cover the nightmare of bill shock. And then, yeah, we'll deliver a verdict on which platform wins for, say, 90% of web projects today.
I love it. Let's get right into the meat of it. Section one, the ideology clash. You said this is about structure versus speed.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to play devil's advocate here. For a long, long time, Firebase was the default for startups because it was fast. So what's changed?
It all boils down to the fundamental difference between NoSQL, which is Firebase, and SQL, which is the relational engine behind Supabase.
Okay.
The appeal of the document store, that dump and run mentality, it's still there. You have a JSON object, say a user profile, you just throw it in the database, boom, it exists. No schema, no tables. It's incredibly flexible in that first week.
That sounds great, though. I mean, if I'm a founder trying to ship an MVP in a weekend, why is that a problem in 2026?
It's the 2026 problem. It's what we're calling index hell. The complexity just kills you as soon as you need to ask sophisticated questions of your data.
Like what? Give me an example.
Okay, let's say you want a query. Show me all users who bought product X, A and D, live in New York, or are aged 25 to 30.
That sounds like a pretty standard request for, like, a marketing dashboard.
In a relational database, it is. It's one query. In a NoSQL document store, that is a complete nightmare. To make that query fast, you have to create these composite indexes.
For every single combination you might want to ask.
For every single permutation. So you want to filter by age and city, that's an index. Age and product, that's another index. City and product, yet another one. And if you forget one, the query just fails. Where it runs so slowly, it's useless.
So you end up spending your time managing the database instead of building new features. You're fighting the tool.
You're fighting the tool, exactly. And then there's the whole issue of joins.
Right. NoSQL doesn't really do them.
Not natively. So if you want to show a list of orders with the user's name on it, you often have to denormalize the data.
Which is just a fancy word for them.
Duplicating it, you store the user's name inside every single order document.
But wait, what if someone changes their name? Or updates their profile picture?
Precisely. You then have to write a function to go find every order, every comment, every like they ever made, and update the name in all those different places. It's a huge maintenance headache at scale.
So you trade that initial speed for this long-term pain.
That's the trade-off.
Okay, so let's flip to Supabase. Their whole pitch is the power of Postgres. But Postgres is old, right? It's been around since the 90s. Isn't that a step backward?
That's the great irony. Supabase is betting that relational data is just how the world works. And they're right. In 2026, you can use join us to connect tables instantly. You use foreign keys to ensure data integrity.
So you literally can't create an order without a user attached to it.
The database just forbids it. It keeps your data clean.
But does SQL feel clunky?
Yeah.
For a front-end developer who just wants an API and, you know, hates writing back-end code,
And that's where Superbase pulled a masterstroke. They have this secret weapon called Postgres.
Postgres, okay.
It sits on top of your database and automatically turns it into a REST API. So from the front end, you're just making simple API calls. It feels modern, but under the hood, you have all the raw power of SQL.
So you get the ease of use, but you don't lose the ability to do the hard stuff later on.
You are not painting yourself into a corner. When your boss asks for that crazy report 3 months from now, you just write a SQL query. You don't have to redesign everything.
Okay, this brings us to section two. And this is something I hear about constantly. Developer experience .dx. And specifically, the obsession with TypeScript.
If you are building with Next.js in 2026, type safety isn't a nice to have, it's a requirement. You have to know that the data you think you're getting is the data you are getting.
And based on our sources, it looks like Supabase just wins this one. Why is that?
It's a hands-down victory. Because Supabase is built on a structured SQL schema, their CLI, the command line tool, can look at your live database and introspect it.
Introspect. I like that word. What's it actually doing?
It's reading the map of your database. It looks at all the columns, the data types, the relationships, and then it auto-generates a types.ts file for your entire project.
Okay, walk me through that. What does that actually look like when I'm coding?
So you're typing await superbase.fromusers.select. The second you type that, TypeScript knows every single field on that user table.
So it knows email is a string, create is a date, that kind of thing.
Exactly. It knows its premium is a Boolean, you get autocomplete. But here's the magic.
Okay.
What happens if you change the database? Say you rename a column from username to user handle. You run one command to regenerate the types, and suddenly your code editor, like VS Code, just starts screaming at you.
So everywhere I use your username is now underlined in red.
Everywhere. It said, hey, this property doesn't exist anymore. You catch the bug before you even hit save.
That is huge.
Yeah.
That's what people mean by end-to-end type safety.
Yes. It's a safety net that spans your whole stack from the database all the way to the UI. Now compare that to Firebase.
They've improved, right?
Yeah.
The Gen 2 SDKs.
They're better, for sure. But it still feels like they're playing catch up. Because the documents are just unstructured JSON, TypeScript doesn't inherently know what's inside. You have to write these manual data converters to basically tell TypeScript, I promise this document looks like this.
So you're writing extra code just to get the safety Supabase gives you for free.
You are. And there's another point of friction in 2026, the edge.
Right. Everyone wants to run their functions on edge runtimes for speed.
Exactly. But integrating the Firebase admin SDK into those environments can be tricky. It has cold start, so it can be slow to wake up. And the package size is heavy. Supabase is just lightweight HTTP. It fits into that modern edge ecosystem much more naturally.
Okay, that brings us to the topic you can't escape in 2026. Section three, the AI war.
Right. If your app doesn't have AI features, is even a real app anymore?
The bar has definitely been raised, and the core of this seems to be about vector embeddings. So yeah. For anyone listening who's maybe new to AI, just briefly, why do vectors matter?
Sure. Think of a vector as a long list of numbers that represents the meaning of a piece of text. It's how a computer understands that delicious hot beverage is similar to coffee.
Got it. So how do our two contenders handle storing and searching these vectors?
This is another place where Supabase's bet on Postgres really pays off. Because it's just Postgres, it supports an amazing open source extension called PG Vector.
I've heard of this. It's kind of legendary.
It is. And the beauty is in the architecture. We call it monolithic beauty. You store your user data, your chat logs, your product info, and your AI vector embeddings all in the exact same database.
So if I want to build a feature, say, to find relevant products based on what a user types?
You run a single SQL query. It does the similarity search right there next to all your other data. You don't need an external service like Pinecone. You don't have to sync data between different services. It's so much simpler.
And Firebase, I mean, they have Google behind them. They must have top-tier AI tools.
They do, and they're powerful. They lean on Google Cloud's Vertex AI and a vector search extension. You get access to Gemini Ultra, which is a fantastic model.
Right.
But architecturally, it feels bolted on.
How so?
You often have to sync your Firestore data to a separate vector store. So now your main data is in one place, your AI brain is in another. You have to keep them in sync. If a user deletes something, you have to remember to delete the vector too. It just adds latency and complexity.
It works, but it's not that seamless integration that Supabase has.
Exactly. It's not as elegant.
It sounds like Supabase is winning on architecture, but let's talk about something that keeps senior devs up at night. Security. Section 4.
Right. This is where the hard decisions get made. Supabase uses row-level security, or RLS.
And that's just standard SQL policies, right?
Yep. You write rules directly on the database tables. A policy might look like: a user can see their own data if their auth ID matches the user ID in the row. It's incredibly robust and portable.
But writing SQL for security, that sounds intimidating for a front-end dev.
It can be. It definitely has a steeper learning curve than Firebase. Oh. Firebase uses these proprietary .rules files. It's this JSON-like syntax. It is very, very readable. You can look at it and get it immediately.
But there's a trap there, isn't there? I read about a hidden cost.
This is the big gotcha with Firebase security. If your security rule needs to check another document, let's say checking if a user is an admin in a different collection before they can read a post, that check counts as a database read.
Wait, what? So just checking if someone is allowed to see the data costs me money?
It costs you a read, exactly. So if you have a complex app with a lot of permissions checks, you can burn through your free tier just on security rules before a user even sees a single piece of data.
That is sneaky. Okay, let's pivot to performance. Specifically, real-time and offline mode. This has always been Firebase's stronghold.
It has. And we have to give credit where it's due. Firebase Realtime and Firestore are built on Google's WebSocket infrastructure. They are famously fast, but where they really, really shine is offline mode.
For mobile apps, right? Like if I'm on a plane or in a subway tunnel.
Yes. Firebase handles that state synchronization beautifully. You can keep using the app, writing data, and when you get signal again, it just syncs everything up. It's best in class.
And Supabase.
Supabase has great real-time built on Elixir and Phoenix, so it can handle millions of connections. But their offline persistence for mobile is still playing catch-up. If you're building a mobile-first app where offline is critical, Firebase still has the edge there.
Okay, so that's a clear win for Firebase in that specific niche.
Mm.
But let's talk about the thing that gives founders nightmares. Section 5, the bill shock.
This is maybe the most critical section for anyone running a business on these platforms. We call it the nightmare scenario.
The sources describe a pay-as-you-go trap with Firebase. Break that down.
Okay, so Firebase charges based on operations, reads, and writes. Every time you touch the database, the meter spins. Now imagine you deploy a bug in your front-end code, a use effect loop in React that accidentally reads the database 100,000 times in an hour.
Oh no, I think every developer has written that exact bug at least once.
We all have. But on a traditional server, that just spikes your CPU. On Firebase, Google will happily execute those 100,000 reads, and then they will send you the bill. There are no hard caps to stop your service before your credit card melts.
You could wake up to a $5,000 bill because of a typo.
It happens. It is terrifying. It's like leaving the water running, but the water costs a dollar a gallon.
So how does Supabase handle that?
Supabase uses a much more predictable model, more like a traditional server. You pay for storage and compute.
So it's more of a flat fee.
Generally, yeah. You pay, say, $25 a month for the pro tier. If you have that same infinite loop bug, you'll probably hit a CPU limit. Your app might get throttled. You'll get an email. But you are not going to accidentally owe them the price of a used car overnight.
That peace of mind alone is worth a lot. And this is related to the idea of vendor lock-in.
The exit strategy question. With Firebase, you are deep inside Google's walled garden. If you ever want to leave Firestore, you have to rewrite your entire backend. You have to convert all that NoSQL data to SQL. It is a mountain of technical debt.
It basically traps you.
It does. Supabase, on the other hand, is open source. You could self-host it if you wanted to. But even if you use their cloud service, your data is just standard Postgres. You can run a pag dump command, take your data, and move it to AWS or Azure or anywhere.
Total freedom.
You own your data structure. You're not renting Google's proprietary logic.
All right, we've covered ideology, tech, and money. It's time for the verdict. Section 6. Who actually wins in 2026?
Well, we have to use the decision matrix. There's no single tool that's perfect for every single job.
Okay, so let's start with when you should still choose Firebase. It's not dead.
Not at all. You choose Firebase if you are truly mobile first. Building a Flutter or React Native app where that robust offline sync is a killer feature. Also, if your data is highly unstructured, like a Visual Feed, and you have a small team with absolutely zero SQL knowledge.
And if you're already deep in the Google ecosystem, right? Heavy on analytics and Crashlytics.
Exactly. If you live and breathe the Google Cloud, Firebase is the glue that holds it all together. It makes a lot of sense there.
Now, the other side. When do we choose soup base?
You choose soup base if you're building a sauce or a web app, especially with Next.js. If your data is relational, and most business data is, you know, users, orders, inventory. If you need native AI vector search, and maybe most importantly, if you fear vendor lock-in.
And the final score from our source.
The conclusion is bold. In 2026, soup base is the winner for 90% of web projects.
Wow. 90%, that's a landslide.
It is, but it reflects the shift. The combination of Postgres, native AI, and that incredible type safety offers a developer experience that the document model just can't match anymore for most modern apps.
So the initial ease of NoSQL is being outweighed by the long-term stability and power of SQL.
Right. Supabase took the complexity of Postgres, which used to be scary for a lot of developers, and they wrapped it in an experience that feels like magic. And it saves you from index hell and bill shock.
It's predictable.
Firebase is easier on day one. Supabase is easier on day 100, day 365, and day 1000.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on, listener. We talked a lot about technical debt, and I want you to ask yourself, is the ease of starting fast today worth the pain of complex migrations tomorrow?
It's a fascinating question about how we value our time, isn't it? Do we value the first week of development more than the first year of maintenance? Because that's really the choice you're making here.
Are you Team Google or Team SQL? It's a choice that will define your entire architecture. That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for listening and stay curious.
See you in the next one.